Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Judges chapter 13. A Bible character many have heard of, a Bible character many are familiar with, the story and history of Samson. A Nazarite from birth. One consecrated, one devoted, one consecrated among his brethren, a kind of ascetic among the Hebrews who by vow abstained from certain things, an untrimmed vine. Samson was the son of a man named Manoah and his wife. Before the conception of Samson, his mother was barren and had no children. And the time came when the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." We pick up the text, Judges 13, pick it up at verse 5. "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" What was this father like? What was his father like? Well, the next verse shows what kind of man he was. Verse 8, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.'" Beautiful words. "Please come to us again and teach us. Teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Fathers and mothers in the house, just as for this man and woman, call on God, for the Lord will listen to your voice and come to you and teach you concerning the child and teach you concerning each child. Verses 9 to 25, "And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened As the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. Samson, solar, like the sun, a Danite, son of Manoah, a Nazarite for life, one that would judge Israel. We come to chapter 14 and we begin to read how the Lord sought occasion to move against the Philistines. We may not understand it all. The Lord works in mysterious ways. We cannot deal with all the happenings today, but what we begin to read is this. This glorious line appears on the page. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Verse 6, Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Again, verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, and took their apparel. There is no doubt that Samson was a Nazarite. There is no doubt that the Lord had called the man. The man was set apart, chosen, consecrated, devoted, consecrated among his brethren, a man who by vow abstained from certain things, and because of this vow, incredible happenings where the Spirit of the Lord would come mightily upon him. These occasions, just to highlight some, an occasion where Samson goes and catches 300 foxes and he takes torches, turns the foxes tail to tail and puts a torch between each pair of tails. He sets the torches on fire and lets the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines, burning up both the shocks and the standing grain as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. An occasion where Samson attacks the Philistines hip and thigh with a great slaughter. An occasion where he was tied with ropes and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. Then he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. There is no doubt that Samson was a Nazarite, a man with a vow upon his life, a man called by the Lord, consecrated, devoted, consecrated among brethren. One who, by vow, abstained from certain things, and the Spirit of the Lord would come mightily upon him. But Samson got a little loose, a little careless. Samson's weakness, Samson's vulnerability, Samson's Achilles. Judges chapter 6, many of us are familiar with the history. Samson and Delilah, chapter 16. Delilah, feeble, pining with desire, Does every solar one have a weakness? This is sure. Every solar one will be tested. Every solar one mighty in God will be targeted. The enemy wants to bind every solar one. The enemy wants to crack every solar one. The enemy wants to trim every solar one, render them shorn. The enemy wants to destroy every solar one, render every solar one visionless, enslave every solar one, render them earthly and dark, turn every solar one into a form of entertainment. Well, let's read of what took place. Judges 16, we pick it up at verse 1. Now, Samson went to Gaza. Surreal. And saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies and what means, by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And so, it begins. What are you doing, Samson? Remember the call of God on your life. You are God's. You're devoted, consecrated, called and chosen. You're getting loose, careless, sin and sinfulness, weakness, vulnerability, Achilles. All the enemy knows, how to come at us, how to get to us. He wants every solar one to go dark. Verses 6 to 9. Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Samson, what are you doing? This is a dangerous trap, a dangerous game. Verse 10, then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with. I mean, had he not clued in? Couldn't he see what's going on? Oh, love is blind, or lust is blind, thinking he's invisible, man. Verses 11 to 12. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used for work, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Run, man. Run, boy. Run, boy, run. Delilah's going to get you. Verses 13 to 14, Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. But look what's happening. If you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom, the mention of his hair, the mention of his hair that was never to be trimmed, never to be cut, closer and closer to the great give up. Verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Delilah, pining with desire. Stop. We have to go back. He says, and you've heard these words before. You've heard this line before. In chapter 14, Samson had taken a wife for himself. To summarize, Samson went down to the place called Timnah, and the woman was there, his wife-to-be. He arrives at the vineyards of Timnah, and to his surprise, a young lion comes out roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him. And he tears the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. He then goes and talks to the woman, and she pleases him well. Listen to the text, Judges 14, beginning at verse 8. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. So they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. And out of the strong came something sweet. Now, for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it happened on the 7th day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Entice. They said to his wife, entice your husband. And this Samson's wife weeps on him and says, you only hate me, you don't love me. You posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. Oh, Samson, the riddler. Here we are, chapter 16. And there's a far greater riddle at stake. Don't you remember? Have you not learned your lesson? Can't you see it? He's already become blind. Judges 16, 4 and 5, it happened that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him. What are you doing, Samson? Cherish the call of God. Cherish the vow. Cherish the consecration, the devotion. Cherish the strength. Cherish the power and the anointing. You are God's. You are God's solar one. You're getting loose. Careless. Sinfully loose and careless. Weakness, vulnerability. Achilles. She begins breaking him down, pining with desire. Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. I mean, what a request. Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. Verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say? How can you say I love you? When your heart is not with me, you have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. The Message paraphrase reads, she said, how can you say I love you when you won't even trust me? These 3 times now you've toyed with me like a cat with a mouse, refusing to tell me the secret of your great strength. Don't give up the secret. Don't give up the answer to the riddle, or you'll end up riddled. The mouse sets the trap. The wife, she had wept on him 7 days, and it happened on the 7th day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Delilah, verses 16 and 17, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed, literally impatient to the point of death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other Man. He knew it. He admits, he acknowledges, he confesses the knowledge and reality. Verses 18 to 20, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. He began to be weak, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The man breaks, gives up the answer to the riddle, the answer to his strength, and here he is lulled to sleep. Oh, Riddler. You know, he had woken up in this manner before. He had woken up in this manner before, but this time he wakes up to a bad dream. Because he had given up the secret before being lulled to sleep. Samson wakes up. He says to himself, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Imagine not knowing that the Lord has departed from you. It can be this way for us. We say to ourselves, "The power of God will get me out of this mess. The mess that I've got myself into, even in this waywardness, the power of God will set me free." Be careful. Because Samson didn't even know that his strength was gone, that the Lord had departed from him. I cannot imagine what he felt in that moment, in those moments. Shocked. But he shouldn't have been. Weak. Indeed. Solved. The Riddler. And the riddle of his strength. Lost the superpower. Ashamed. Mortified. Embarrassed. Humiliated. The mane of this lion of a man shaved. 7 perfect locks of consecration and devotion. And this speaks to the Christian's disgrace. His locks are cut off. The bearded. Oh, the regret. Here he is, rendered as any other man. Verse 21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They bored out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Don't give up the secret to the riddle. It costs so many their vision. Watchman Nee said, "An affection which is not inspired by the Lord will soon be transformed into lust." Samson is not alone in the history of man in failing in this regard. Delilah is still cutting the hair of man today. Samson, Look what's become of you. You know, it may not be lust. It could be, as these words suggest, when the razor gets to work and the hair of conscious, resolute devotion to God begins to fall on the floor, lock after lock, the strength is departing. And only as that hair begins to grow again and spiritual consecration returns can these people expect to be useful, influential, and strong in the Lord. The man became the sport of the enemies of God. The sport of the enemy. There he is, shaved, shorn. There he is, bound. There he is, blind. There he is, trying to walk without vision, for he had never been blind until now. What a sight. What a scene. The great strong man who had walked through Gaza so proud, the he-man who took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them apart, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. There he is, shaved, shorn, weak, humiliated. No vision, eyes bored out. Solved. These words, Samson, however, though he had great physical strength, had but little mental force and even less spiritual power. His whole life is a scene of miracles and follies. He had but little grace and was easily overcome by temptation. He is enticed and led astray, often corrected. Still he sins again. At last he falls into the hands of Delilah. She is bribed with an enormous sum, and she endeavors to get from him the secret of his strength. He foolishly toys with the danger and plays with his own destruction. At last, goaded by her importunity, he lets out the secret which he ought to have confided to no one but himself. The secret of his strength lay in his locks. Not that the hair made him strong, but that his hair was the symbol of his consecration and was the pledge of God's favor to him. People of God, consecration is strength. Samson's consecration was key to his strength, the secret. The strength that separated him from the likes of other men. The strongest in the world are the consecrated. Charles Spurgeon said these words, "What is the peculiar danger of a consecrated man?" Good question. His danger is that his locks may be shorn, that is to say, that his consecration may be broken. As long as he is consecrated, he is strong. Break that. He is weak as water. Now there are 1,000 razors with which the devil can shave off the locks of a consecrated man without his knowing. Samson is sound asleep. So clever is the barber that he even lulls him to sleep with his fingers, as his fingers move across the pate, the head, the fool's head, which he is making bare. The devil is cleverer far than even the skillful barber. He can shave the believer's locks while he scarcely knows it. Shall I tell you with what razors he can accomplish this work? Sometimes he takes the sharp razor of pride. Another razor he also uses is self-sufficiency. There is yet another and a more palpable danger still. When a consecrated man begins to change his purpose in life and live for himself, that razor shaves clean indeed. This once strong man, the great destroyer, reduced to a visionless grinder at the mill, the job of an ass. Weak, visionless, out of favor with God. Weep for Samson. The solar had been eclipsed. But there in the text, these words. Verses 21 to 22, they bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Is there a shaved, shorn one in the house today? Once a solar one, a backslider, a man of broken consecration and dedication, one shorn because of lust, one shorn because of pride, one shorn because of self-sufficiency, one shorn because of the change of purpose in life and the living for self. Shaved and shorn, but not without hope. Verses 23 to 27. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson." And he performed for them, the jester. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple. Let me feel, let these hands feel the pillars of darkness so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching. Well, Samson performed. Let's have the worship team return today. A clown. A jester. A joker, an entertainer. What a riddle he had become. All that time grinding at the mill. All that time grinding at the mill. Sorrow, regret, shame, remorse, pain, agony, tears, unimaginable. Was it enough to send a man grinding for repentance? Was it enough? Verses 28 to 30, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes, for my vision." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Shaved. Shorn. but not without hope. For the hair of his head began to grow. You know what? Man, they should have kept him shaven. They should have removed every root. They should have sent a barber to him every day. His hair began to grow. Prophetic hope for man. But you know, it's more than that. The grinding for repentance, the humility and brokenness over folly and sin. We know the end of Samson, and God used him mightily once more. But this does not have to be the end of us. If we choose the locks of consecration once again and grind, grind, grind at the mill in repentance, God is merciful. God is gracious. And we can have a new day. And if the locks of consecration have grown and you've ground at the mill, pray this prayer today. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Now take hold of the pillars. Brace yourself against them. Push with all your might and let God use you again. May God use you again. Samson, Riddler, jester, joker, entertainer, fool, embarrassed, job of an ass, grind at the mill in repentance. Let God use you again. God will use you again. Oh, God. Is there a visionless one today, rendered visionless? I know the God who heals the blind and even creates eyes, puts godly vision back into the sockets of humankind. Samson's eyes were not restored, his sight was not restored, but spiritually speaking and by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord today, your eyes can be restored. Your sight, your vision can be restored. To the unsaved Philistines in the house, I must quote these words. And as for you that have not given yourselves to God and are not consecrated to Him, I can only speak to you as to Philistines. And warn you that the day shall come when Israel shall be avenged upon the Philistines. You may be one day assembled upon the roof of your pleasures, enjoying yourselves in health and strength. But there is a Samson called Death who shall pull down the pillars of your tabernacle, and you must fall and be destroyed, and great shall be the ruin. May God give you grace that you may be consecrated to Christ so that living or dying you may rejoice in Him and may share with Him the glory of His Father. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Come back to consecration. Come back to devotion. Strengthen consecration and devotion. Fulfill your purpose in God. Be who God's called you to be. Cherish the anointing. cherish the call, whatever it might be. Cherish what separates you from other men and women. What makes you different, what makes you peculiar, what makes you strong, what makes you powerful. Cherish the consecration. Cherish the seven locks. Cherish. Guard. And live the life where the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon you. Lord, help us.